Hello and welcome to yet another edition of The Week on Dalal Street, the weekly podcast on the markets where we look at the major action during the week, key trends, and also what to keep an eye out for in the week ahead. I'm Santosh Nair, and with me on the show is CNBC TV18 Stocks Editor Anuj Singhal. Anuj, welcome to the show. A pleasure to have you here once again.
Thanks, Santosh. I missed out the last weekend. I was on holiday, so good to be back and good to be talking to you.
Well, the trading week began on a sad note for all those associated with the Indian stock market. Big bull Rakesh Jhunjhunwala passed away in Mumbai on Sunday at the age of 62. An inspiration to millions of investors, he'll definitely be missed. So, Anuj, just wanted to pick your thoughts and also some memorable experience you've had with the big bull.
Well, Santosh, you know, Rakesh Jhunjhunwala, of course, Rakesh Bhaiya, as a lot of people would call him, was a very affectionate person. He was very moody. He sometimes would get very angry, but then he was also someone who was who would get soft equally quickly as well. There was one occasion when he had sort of ridiculed my view on TV, right? He called me later and he sort of apologized, and after that he had a long chat with me. The reason for his anger is mainly because a lot of people focus on just trading side of the market. He believes in wealth creation from equities. He also was a good trader, but he said that trading would make you decent money, but if you want to generate wealth, you have to talk about long term, which he believes that not too many people talk about. So I think that was one. He had called me after I suffered a personal loss, when my father passed away, and at that time he sort of told me how he dealt with the situation when his father passed away. So I think while of course he was a genius as an investor, there was this personal side to him. When I went to his home once, and he made me eat some really, really, really nice food, and he showed me some of his personal photographs. So there was that side of Rakesh Jhunjhunwala. He always used to enjoy life. You have written something nice about him, Santosh, right? What would be your top memory of him?
Well, my memory goes back to my days as a cub reporter at Business Standard. So there was this weekly column that I used to write called Street Science, and in 99, 2000, at that time, in the midst of a crazy dot-com rally. And at that point, Rakesh Jhunjhunwala, the true value investor, he was more active on the short side of the market. Yes. He was short selling more than he was buying technology stocks. And I used to refer to him as the bear operator. So I did that a few times. And one day when I called him up for his views, he said, "Look, it's wrong to constantly refer to me as a bear. No bear does it for fun." Right? Because any trader has more shares at home than he trades in. Yes. So if he does something just for fun, he's actually destroying wealth, and nobody will do that. Right now, the valuations are not supportive. That's why I'm going short on the stock. So that was a major learning for me, Anuj. We move into the other questions on the market for this week. So Anuj, the longest winning streak in the market in almost 2 years comes to an end. I know one day doesn't make a big difference, but how would you look at the market at this point?
Well, Santosh, two or three points. The manner in which the market ended today or Friday was a bit nervous. Today there was no attempt to sort of buy the dip. Now I know after 2000 point rally, it's par for the course if the Nifty has to decline 200 points. But there are a couple of reasons which make me slightly circumspect about the market. It was led by the Bank Nifty, which has been the leadership pocket for the market on the way down. When on the way down, the move is led by the market leading sector, you got to take notice. Also in the morning, I made a point that there are a couple of indicators which are coming from the global market. The most important one being the dollar index. All of a sudden that surged to 107 odd. Bond yields are very close to 3 again in the US, the 10-year bond yield. And Brent crude is closing in on 100 once again. I think a combination of all of this, and dollar rupees almost back to 80. I think all of these macro factors at some point could hurt the markets. As of now, the market's texture has not been violated. It doesn't get violated till 17,600 is broken on the downside. But bears watching, some of these factors, especially on the macro front.
Well, you just made a reference to the Bank Nifty. Now, what's the outlook overall on the banking sector, financials in general? You've seen a strong run-up in them. So how would you look at this segment?
it's a high beta segment. So if the market has to decline, then perhaps banks would lead it. But if this is just a shallow decline and just a shakeout, yeah, the market has shakeout sometimes, you know, because everyone just gets on one side, thinks it's easy to make money. If the market decides that in its wisdom that it needs to shake out some of the people, then it actually does that. And if that is the case, if the market starts to resume its upside, one thing which I can safely say is among the larger indices, the Nifty, the Bank Nifty and the IT index, if there's one index which should reclaim its all-time high first, it should be the Bank Nifty. So on that, there should be no debate that it still is the stronger index. If the market, though, however, has made a lower top, and we will know with the hindsight, right? If the market has made a lower top, in that case, in the next run of, say, next 1 month or so, the Bank Nifty could fall more than the Nifty purely because of the high beta nature.
Well, we've seen the markets ignoring the strong dollar index in the past. Do you think it can do that once again?
It can, but it cannot do it for too long. If the stronger dollar again leads to, this month we've seen massive amount of FI buying, and a lot of that could be hot money, could be, you know, just momentum chasing money. For this money, you know, if it turns very fast. So in that case, at the end of the day, last time when you ignored the dollar index move, after some time, the market did realize it, and it did lead to the market correcting quite a bit. After that, we've seen the dollar index cool off quite a bit. Now the dollar index is rising again. I think, again, if the dollar index has an impact on the fund flows, I think it will be tough for the markets to ignore it beyond a point.
Investors also seem to be warming up to steel stocks once again. There's some chatter that probably the export duty could be rolled back. Just going through a CLSA report on steel, the report didn't sound all that bullish on that. How would you look at the steel sectors, key steel stocks at this point?
I'll repeat what I said, what I told you 2 weeks back. This is one area where the market would want to play it, expecting that there would be this rollback of duty hike. And with Tata Steel stock split, obviously that has helped. The stocks will top out the day that actual announcement happens on the rollback. Because why is there going to be rollback? Because prices are down. So ultimately, if the prices are down and if the cycle is reversing, in that case, the peak earnings are behind you. And if peak earnings are behind you, these stocks, commodities are always like that, Santosh. It's always tough to sort of mark out tops and bottoms. But after every good quarter, you have to wonder if this was the peak quarter. After every bad quarter, you have to ask, are we at the bottom of the cycle? So I think maybe these stocks could still remain a bit more warm if the news flow continues around this export duty hike. I think we are reaching that time. I think September is when the decision would be made on that. So if and when the actual decision happens, that's the day when the stocks top out.
Well, JSW Steel's Seshagiri Rao was on the channel earlier this week and didn't sound very optimistic about the steel scenario.
Yeah, because clearly the things are looking, less bullish than they looked, say, 3 or 4 months back. There's a fear of recession in the US. China is going through something which none of us knows what's happening there. So I think globally, clearly, there are signs that the peak steel demand or the peak prices for steel may be behind us.
Looking at stocks in focus this week, PBR, the big reversal there, the stock was riding high till last week and a few flops, and suddenly the sentiment for the stock seemed to have changed overall. So is that the right way to look at it, considering that it's still being considered more as a reopen theme rather than, you know, a few movies doing well or not doing well?
I think what PBR made a mistake is in terms of its pricing, Santosh, because, you know, when the movies reopen, when the theaters reopen, all of us went out and I remember paying even 1800 rupees for I think RRR or KGF, but because, you know, I was just too drained out, I wanted to watch a movie, right? But I think they assume that, you know, this kind of pricing is going to continue. Let's give an example. There's a movie releasing today by the name of Dobara. It has completely unknown star cast, completely unknown sort of pedigree, and still the ticket prices for, you know, the evening shows are some 500-600 rupees. I'm not going to pay that. So also the debacles that we have seen, Santosh, both Shamshera and Lal Singh Chadda, and for the Yash Raj movie, and Yash Raj has had two or three back-to-back debacles. Akshay Kumar movies, two back-to-back flop for Akshay Kumar. Aamir Khan coming after 3 years and delivering the biggest flop of his career. I think all of that doesn't augur too well. there have been sleeper hits. We spoke to Ajay Bijli and we asked him this question that, you know, there are no big certified hits. He said there aren't, but there are sleeper hits like Bhulbhulaiya 2 or Gangubai Kathiawadi or the Kashmir Files. Sleeper hits beyond a point won't carry you home. You need some big constant hits, which used to happen pre-pandemic. That is not happening. I think the audience is rejecting the content. I think it's not PVR's fault. It's movie maker's fault. But, you know, a derivative is as good as the underlying, right? The underlying is not good. So how will the derivative survive?
If you were to look at the valuations of the stock, what then, what levels would be kind of a comforting entry point?
Oh, PVR is horribly expensive, Santosh. You know, it would be horribly expensive at half its price. But PVR is not about valuation. PVR is about a concept. It's a concept stock. And after this merger with Inox, it's a bit of a monopoly in multiplexes. So the issue with PVR, Inox is it's also a bit of a cyclical. Right now, the movie industry is going through a down cycle. I think the movie industry will revive. I think they will find out. People want entertainment. They will pay. So that time will come. And there would be time when you'll have four or five back-to-back blockbusters. So maybe you got to keep your patience, let this phase of bad movies go out, and then perhaps look at these stocks.
Well, Anuj, IRCTC was the other stock in the limelight today. Big up move. Now the company is also talking about monetizing the data of passengers. So how much of a trigger is this for the stock? And do you think this announcement probably could run into some kind of rough weather as well?
Will you be comfortable your data being shared, Santosh?
Not at all.
I won't be. But, you know, they're saying that, you know, this is subject to the laws of IT and all being adhered to. Then how do you monetize data? Because I don't want anything to be shared, frankly.
Right.
I don't want anything to be shared. I don't want anyone to know where I went or, you know, how many holidays I take or what kind of class I travel in. And this is, you know, Santosh, I mean, when I go to shopping and when the biller asks me for my mobile number, I refuse to give it. Why should I give you? I don't want to give you. You know, because in India, we take privacy in a very lax manner. You know, nobody should be asking me my mobile number in the first place. So anyway, that's a different angst. But I think, look, IRCTC is what I call a wild stock. It's something which, you know, if you get it right, you make a lot of money. If you get it wrong, you know, you get your shorts taken off. Honestly, it's that kind of a stock. So I think if you're comfortable trading such a stock, you can do it. But you know, for retail, I generally tend to sort of tell people to avoid this kind of stock.
Overall, we've seen a sharp downtick today. Midcaps typically that's the segment which takes a big beating whenever the sentiment changes. So how should one position himself in midcaps at this stage?
I think, Santosh, while that point is right, I think maybe it's not right to paint every midcap with same brush. I think even this week, there were a lot of midcaps which did well. Even on Friday, when the market was down, there were a lot of midcaps which sort of did well. So I think, you know, there were a lot of beaten down stocks making a comeback. There were a lot of forgotten names which are making a comeback. You know, a name that stood out for me was Repco Home. I think this week it was up some 56%. DCM was the other name, some 56-57% this week on that stock. NDTV this week made a massive comeback. So I think you'll still keep finding the thing with midcaps is you got to keep your risk management in place while trading them, because you know these stocks, if you get them right, you make a lot of money. So but as a space, as an index in the midcap space, I think the midcap index still outperforms if the Nifty is still holding, say, 17,500 or thereabout. I would say even 17,200. As long as the Nifty is holding 17,200 or the 200-day moving average, the mid-cap index still outperforms. If you start to break the 200-day moving average again, that is where I think the mid-cap index starts to underperform.
You know, Anuj, in this rally, it was widely spoken about that most people had missed it. Mm-hmm. Now, the good part is that it means the market is not as overbought, considering that many people didn't even get a chance to react. So what is the mood right now at the moment?
The market may not be overbought, it is not, but it is overvalued. So not too many prices have moved up, right? So in that sense, it's always this dilemma, right, Santosh? How do you approach the market? Look, my sense is that the market's made perhaps has taken some kind of breather. It needs to, it's almost like, you know, when you have a heavy meal. You know, you may have enjoyed the meal, but to have the next meal, before that you'll need to go for a walk. You know, you need to perhaps take a bit of a nap, and then you know come back. So I think this market's done one sort of jump. It's been a 2,000-point jump, more than that, 15,500 to almost 18,000, 2,500-point jump, close to close. Intraday, maybe even more. I think any market gives up about one third of the gain. So a 700-800-point correction would not hurt anyone, and my sense is it would make market healthy. I'm not saying it will happen, because you know the market is really running on steroids, Friday notwithstanding. But I think it would be better from the market point of view, from the sanity point of view, if the market has to correct, say, another 500-600 points.
So what are the key things on your radar? What are the factors that you would be keeping an eye out for?
I think the most important would be the US bond yields and the NASDAQ. Our market has been most correlated to the moves in the US bond yield and the NASDAQ. If the US bond yield starts to move up again over 3%, along with dollar index and NASDAQ, I can tell you, Santosh, we will go down. I don't care about the recent bravado. If the US market turns, if the NASDAQ turns, our market will turn. Our market has been doing well because globally the market's been making a bit of a comeback. You know, the S&P 500 has risen 15% from the recent lows. So it's not as if we have risen alone ourselves. All the markets have risen across the board. So that's the number one cue to watch out for the global context.
Well, thank you for sharing those wonderful insights with us, Anuj, and I hope you have a great weekend.
I hope you have a great weekend, and I hope all our listeners have a great weekend as well. Thanks a lot for listening in.
Thanks, and on that note, it's a wrap on this edition of The Week on Dalal Street. Thank you for listening once again.